Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Well, Janet Yellen is poised to become the new head of the Federal Reserve. And if she is confirmed by the Senate, you could argue that she will become the most powerful woman in the world, at least when it comes to those little things like steering the U.S. economy or keeping interest rates low, preventing inflation, attacking unemployment. Well, joining me, as they do every Friday morning, WNYC contributors Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And let's just start with the confirmation hearing, Rana. How did it go for her yesterday?
I think it went very well. I think she was incredibly smooth. She was incredibly well prepared, which is one of her trademarks. She is one of the most, if not the most, experienced person to be nominated for this position. She did a great job. I think one of the key things she did was really sort of walk that fine line between saying what she's going to do. She made it clear that the Fed is continuing to look at the data and make a judgment about when they're going to pull back on their $85 billion a month asset buying program, which is the big question that the markets want to know about. But she didn't go too far in either direction in terms of giving guidance there, which I think was smart.
What was interesting to me was that it wasn't just the Republicans complaining about the bond buying that the Fed has done all this time, but the Democrats were complaining about it too. No one was complaining about Janet Yellen per se, but they were complaining about the policy. And the Democrats' objection was that, you know, the bond buying program has kept interest low, which has helped Wall Street and not Main Street. And Janet Yellen was saying, well, it does help Main Street because, you know, housing is less expensive and other things are
less
expensive.
Your mortgage rates are low.
Yeah,
you can afford a home.
Yeah. And it's a really important debate because Yellen is definitely somebody that's going to focus very much on keeping unemployment down, trying to get it down lower. She believes that monetary policy can, in some senses, substitute for fiscal policy. And that goes to the point that the Fed, even under Bernanke, has felt that they're kind of last man standing in Washington.
Well, when we talk about the Federal Reserve, we talk about interest rates or creating jobs, but the Federal Reserve is more than just the building in Washington where perhaps Janet Yellen will now soon be sitting. There are Federal Reserve banks across the country with presidents who have their own power in that region. Rana, you were recently talking to the president of the Boston Federal Reserve Bank.
Yeah, I had a fascinating conversation with Eric Rosengren last week, and we were talking about a new community development program that the Boston Fed is getting involved in. They are actually sponsoring a program to foster more collaborative government and growth in some of the kind of mid-tier Massachusetts cities, old Rust Belt cities like Lowell and Pittsfield and places like that. And they're actually involved in, with another group, in a contest to see who in those cities can come up with the most collaborative ideas. And it's interesting in two ways. One, you don't often hear about the Fed getting involved in grassroots community building, although they do have a mandate to do some community development. Secondly, it's a real pointed statement in a way, because one of the reasons that the Fed has kept buying assets is because Washington is so dysfunctional, politics are so dysfunctional. To go in and actually offer up prizes for the most functional local government is, I think, sending a real interesting signal.
Joe, here in New York, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank that oversees a lot of Wall Street firms recently made some rather remarkable comments when he talked about that the largest financial institutions, that there seems to be a lack of respect for law, regulation, and public trust. Those seem like some pretty tough words coming from a former Goldman Sachs employee.
It was pretty astonishing. William Dudley was giving a talk about too big to fail, and buried in the talk were these two sentences. And the second sentence said, there is evidence of deep-seated cultural and ethical failures at many large financial institutions. And the people in the audience practically fell off their chair.
Well, what does that mean that he's saying that? Does that mean tougher regulation or what?
We've seen tougher regulation for a while, but it really means that the New York Fed, which, you know, has the big bankers on their board, you know, doesn't really trust the institutions it's supposed to oversee. And that's a big, big change.
It also makes me wonder if under Yellen you'll see a Fed that's much more interested in financial regulation, which is also a part of their mandate, although not one they've looked at so much recently.
Well, I want to make a little turn here and talk about Twitter. Last week we talked about how it went public and made its founders millionaires, if not billionaires, once these stocks started trading. Now comes along Snapchat. And the company's not going public. It's not even necessarily making money. But this company that lets you send pictures and videos that quickly disappear reportedly just turned down a buyout offer of several billion dollars from Facebook. I can't tell if this is an amazing story or utterly ridiculous. And I don't want to ask the question, are we in a tech bubble? But what is going on here?
You know, it feels like a frothy moment to me. I will come clean, actually, and give a little bit of personal information, which is back in 1999, I left media briefly and worked in a tech incubator.
You jumped into the bubble.
I jumped the bubble. And the very fact that, frankly, they were hiring journalists to work at these places was a sign of a market top. So it does feel like that to me. When you have people throwing a lot of money at companies that you don't know really what the profit model is, you don't know when, if ever, they're going to be profitable, that makes me a little nervous. Now, the counter case would be that there's an argument about market share, that there's a big land grab going on right now with social media, and you've got to get in there, get the eyeballs, and make money later.
Well, it's precisely when it's a land grab that you have to start worrying about whether it's a bubble or not, right? And so here—
Is that your sign for it? We're in a bubble territory.
You know, anything that now is labeled social media is hot, 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 hot. And by the way, who exactly is attracted to a service where the photos disappear moments later?
Could we have seen a different mayor in New York City, perhaps, if the Snapchat had been more popular?
Exactly. Anyway, I too vote for froth.
Well, finally, in the few moments that we have left, let's look ahead to some of the other stories we're watching. Rana, what's on your radar?
So I'm thinking about Fannie and Freddie and the housing market. There's a group of hedge funds that want to get into the housing market and buy a big chunk of Fannie and Freddie Mac. Now, I'm not sure if it's better to have the government running these organizations or hedge funds. It makes me a little nervous that hedge funds are going into this market if we want to have a more sustainable housing policy.
The idea of having hedge funds run Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is quite simply nuts.
Because these companies are basically guaranteeing almost all the mortgages happening now.
Right. And they're working great right now, believe it or not, in conservatorship as arms of the federal government. They're making billions of dollars, money that gets turned over to the Treasury, and they are giving their good housekeeping seal of approval on prime loans that have 20% down, that are perfectly safe, that is the kind of market that everybody wants. Why would you even change that?
Well, we'll be watching that story and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine, Jonah Serra with The New York Times. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.